Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Al Sterling. Welcome to For Geek's Sake. And I am, we got a big deal, man. We got like celebrities and stuff.
Where?
Liz.
Hi. Yeah.
April.
Hello.
April.
Hello,
Liz.
Everyone.
April Bloodgate Ames is here.
You might remember her as Liz, but now we're going to call her April.
Why are we calling you April Bloodgate again?
We're calling me April Bloodgate because that is the name that I eventually decided on for my roller derby quote-unquote handle, so it's my persona.
I believe we discussed it when you were here last.
We did. I actually even put it up to a vote for the listeners.
Yeah, I believe we selected Hodor.
Oh. Oh, did we now?
Yeah, wasn't that our takeaway, no, that she was going to go by Hodor? Which would make... Listen,
it was in the running, I think.
Hodor would have been a fantastic derby name.
It would have been a fantastic derby name.
It would have been great just to yell it as you're skating.
Exactly.
Like when you're coming up behind somebody, Hodor!
I'm actually not very good at holding doors, though, so...
No.
Too soon.
How are you at skating, though?
I'm decent.
No,
decent at best.
Adequate. That's good. That's good.
I went and saw, actually, her at Cimarron Skateway. The local team, Cimarron Skate, right there on 436.
The mecca of roller derby.
It basically is. And let me tell you what. Number one, I had no idea how roller derby works, so that took a little while for me to
remember. Nobody does. It's fine.
But that game is brutal.
It quite.
That honestly, yeah, like, and basically Liz's entire job is to make sure that people don't get past her.
Right.
So her and Smash, is it?
Adam Smasher is her
Adam
name.
Smasher.
We call her Smash.
The two of them just hurt people for an hour or two.
And got hurt. I still, that game was, 2 weeks ago? I still have many, many bruises that will not go away. So.
That was amazing. I'm sorry. We also have producer Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And from Channel 2, from the Channel 2 weather station, it is Dave Cotterella. Did I say it right?
Cotterella, whatever
Cotterella. I sat there and like, I was convinced I was going to say that wrong from the word go, and I think I got my own head.
You can just call me Dave.
You didn't say Coachella, so.
That's true.
Oh, God, if you ever had to report live from Coachella, it would be a great intro.
My real name is Dave Burning Man, so it all works out.
Oh, there you go.
It's okay. It's all right. I had to change it for television.
So Dave is the meteorologist for West Channel 2, formerly of Channel 13, but forget those guys. We're all about Channel 2.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Channel 2 for life. I'm not getting that tattooed or anything, but still, Channel 2 for life. Yeah. So he is here to discuss all forms of geek weather because that's awesome. And I'm really excited for that. So, but before we do that, we got a couple shout-outs, and then we get some This Week in Geek. First, I'm going to give a quick shout-out to our friends over at Manaforge.
Yeah.
If you recall, we had Brian Klein on actually our first and really only video stream, live video stream we did up to this point, although there's more coming soon. He has this board game that he's created called Manaforge, and it is currently on Kickstarter. It just got kicked off. We're trying to get Brian in here before the
wasn't he the president's campaign manager, or is that we talking
different,
about
different
guy?
Different guy.
Different guy.
Different guy.
I'm sorry, I'm
guy.
Confused.
This one has much less political leanings and more board game leanings.
All right. All right,
well. He's got his game up. It is he's up there. He's trying to do his thing. So check it out, Manaforge, all one word, on Kickstarter. Show Brian some love. I think he's in day like 5 or 6. So 7 or 8 by the time you guys listen. Mm-hmm.
Throw him some money.
Absolutely. Yeah. Also, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Aiden. This is just completely personal. I know this is a shameless plug. Don't care. It's my show. Aiden is raising money for Peru for some flood relief down there. He kind of took it on himself. He was actually on the show as well. He did the...
That's the one where we had the messed up audio.
We had the horrific audio, and I felt really, really bad.
Yeah.
But he was the one who came on to discuss...
Way to go, man.
I know.
It wasn't my fault. It was his fault, actually.
That actually was...
All right.
Yeah, it was my fault. Yeah. Point here is he came on to talk...
He was talking about Minecraft.
Minecraft, thank you.
Ah.
So he was talking Minecraft with us. He is 11 years old, and he is now decided after he's got
a little
family and career.
All right, wait a minute. Yeah. Retract. So the kid, the person you're talking about who's raising money from Peru is 11.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Oh, yeah, and he is on his own.
And he's already been on a podcast.
And he actually also has a YouTube
Superstar.
Series.
Yeah.
He has a YouTube series that he does where he demos a lot of...
Of course he does.
Yeah. Right.
Of course he does.
Yeah, this 11-year-old is more accomplished than I am is what
I'm
trying to say here.
You know,
yeah,
I saw Elon Musk across the street with an 11-year-old when I came in. Are they trying to... Okay,
yeah.
He's trying to... All right.
Well,
all right,
I mean...
All right.
Elon may be trying to recruit him. We'll see what Aiden decides. He actually is also in the engineering program over at MIUI, their magnet program.
Yep.
This kid's incredible. Like, he's already smarter than me.
Listen, he sounds great and all, but sometimes I drink whiskey and take like 3 naps a day. So,
oh my God, that sounds so amazing. If I had the choice between that and building a robot, I've clearly already chosen that.
Is that
a lot?
Is that a country like and western song?
My life might as well be a country and western song.
Wow,
I go Kesha. That's
I go, there you go.
Yeah, listen, I'm getting older and more refined. Okay.
Also, so really exciting. We have officially hit 300 likes on Facebook.
Wow.
So
woohoo!
Which means that half of our audience just liked us on Facebook.
Yeah. So the other half of you, get on it.
What's the problem?
I don't know. Also, we should mention the tripod hashtag. Yeah. So here's the thing, folks.
I'm going to do that right now.
Do it? Oh, okay.
All right.
I'm going to do that right now as I speak.
As we speak.
So this is walking and chewing gum at the same time.
Dave, I believe in you.
So we know. Okay.
You can. I mean, you managed to point to the right stuff on the green screen all the time. I'm sure you can handle this piece.
What just happened?
Because I tried at the Little Land of Science Center. They have the piece there where you can go
it's
and
really
do
it. Hard.
It is a lot harder than I would have thought. I can't. I'm just not good at it. So the point here is that tripod, hashtag tripod, T-R-Y-P-O-D. Is supposed to be your opportunity, those of you who listen to podcasts, which is all of you, since you're listening to this, to tell other people about it and encourage them to do it. And we sure would appreciate it. So tripod, hashtag tripod, put us out there, share your friends,
but
tell your friends.
But not everybody does, right? I mean, people have their own media that they consume. Not everybody's aware.
Right.
And this is a national level effort to make people more aware. So what we're saying is, you need to let your, like, for instance, my brother was in law enforcement for 35 years here in this area. And I love to listen to a show called Crime Town. Mm-hmm. All right? So Crime Town's cool. It's very, very gritty. And so I sent him, like, Crime Town. You should listen to this. You're going to dig it. So hashtag tripod for all your geek friends.
Yeah.
Hashtag tripod. Tweet to them. Hashtag tripod. At for geek's sake. That's for the letter. The
number.
The number. Exactly. Geek's sake, two S's. And let them know that this is something you want to listen to, right?
Because
this is...
Are you interested in a co-host job? It doesn't pay at all, but it will require
most
hours of
my
your time.
Jobs don't, but that's what this is all about. So Al is talking about hashtag tripod. So I'm gonna try and do this right now.
And if you got friends that aren't on Twitter or they're not that tech savvy, burn them a CD. Go old school.
Burn them a CD.
Make them a mixtape.
Put it on a thumb drive. There's
listen,
so many ways to share
out.
A podcast. It's ridiculous.
And then just page them later.
If somebody puts, I'm going to say at least 3 to 4 episodes on a cassette tape, on a legitimate cassette tape, I will pay you cash money.
Yeah,
I will pay you cash money. I will buy you a drink at Hideaway.
And on Sharpie, you have to write "Al's for Geek's Sake Awesome Mix."
Yeah, something along that. I want I want us on a cassette tape. That I feel like, which is really random because of all this time, I will consider success when I'm on a cassette tape.
Would that make your life complete?
It might. All it right. might. Right. I think the true win would be if we got pressed to vinyl. But I feel like that would be a waste.
Ooh. That's very vintage and trendy.
It is, but it's also a waste of vinyl.
We
if I'm
all,
to be completely
we all
honest
that,
with
we
you.
All know that vinyl sounds
we
better
have
anyway.
Plenty of pops and clicks. We don't need. Vinyl to bring that to us.
So you were in the middle of shout-outs.
I was. Yeah. Well, it was not time for shout-outs. I just jumped ahead because I could.
Okay, all right. Yeah. I didn't understand. All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
a shout-out, not a shameless plug.
All right.
We'll get to that.
That's true. Shameless. Yeah. All right, so let's get into This Week in Geek, probably. There we go. I'm still working with our show notes here.
Oh, boy.
Dan, listen, producer Dan put me in charge of actually running the slides when we record, and I'm bad at it.
Yeah. Dan, so what are you doing?
This here, is Dan. Look. Look, I'm not good at this. First up, Mystery Science Theater 3000, which we have been following and discussing for the record on the regular. There's
right.
been some debate there. Let's go ahead and put that to bed.
This is like our fourth time talking about it.
Exactly. This is the one, the reboot that is coming along, or I guess sequel, if you can call it that.
At this point, it's like the reboot.
I think the reboot's correct.
Okay, we'll go reboot. But it features none other than Patton Oswalt and my one true love, not Mike Coulter. Although also him, Felicia Day, who I love very, very much. So the two of them are starring
Both of his hands are underneath the table. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm
you're
saying.
You're not wrong, and I'm not apologizing. So the Mystery Science Theater coming back April 14th. Are you a fan, Dave?
Let me give you a little temporal perspective here.
Uh-oh, here it
youngsters.
Comes.
I had stopped watching MTV when Mystery Science Theater came on. But it wasn't. It was not MTV. It was VH1, right? Or
right.
was it?
Yeah.
Was it MTV?
VH1.
It was on VH1. So I had already gone through my youth of watching MTV and had moved on to other things in my life when VH1 started. So yes, this is from my era, from many, many years ago. I am of the Duran Duran Rio on MTV era. Shockingly enough,
nice.
I was around in college when it began. But yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000 was your typical get off of work. Go home and have a nice, cool iced tea.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Call your mother. first. Mm-hmm. Right, she wants to make sure you're home. And then watch.
Wash behind your ears.
MST3000. Or actually, MST3K.
MST3K. Yeah.
Have a big sandwich.
Have a big old sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Because you're hungry.
You're right. And you've got munchies and the iced tea. Yeah, all of that stuff. I have the same concern now that I did then, though. I want to see the movie piece. I never have terribly enjoyed the skits they did.
Yeah.
With Patton Oswalt and Felicia Day, I'm going to give a lot of room.
Yeah, I think it could be a lot better for at least for you.
I mean, Patton Oswalt's great, and then Felicia Day. I'm hopeful, but I'm wondering. I just hope that the skits don't dominate.
Yeah.
I'm there for Crow and Servo. That's what I'm there for.
The robots.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
All right, moving on. Nintendo Switch has dropped, and we wanted to provide a real quick update on it. So this thing has been a mixed bag, man. This thing has been controversial, I think, if I will go so far as to say. So we've got Breath of the Wild. That's the one thing nobody's arguing. Breath of the Wild is incredible.
It's the new Zelda game, right?
Yes. The new Zelda game.
So beautiful.
Sorry, thank you. The new Zelda game that dropped with is Breath of the Wild.
That old Brad Pitt movie? No, that was Legends of the Fall.
Wait, that was Last of the Mohicans? No, that was exactly. That wasn't Brad Pitt. That was
Legends
somebody else.
Of the Fall.
It kind of looks like Legends of the Fall, though. It's all very scenic and pretty.
From a guy with kids who are teenagers now, all that looks like to me is a bunch of crap to get lost.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
And broken.
And lost between the cushions.
Yep. Oh my!
And the cartridges are incredibly small for this.
Yeah,
they're like also, the 3DS games. Basically.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah.
All I can think about right now is how many times I have had to spend my night searching for the damn Apple TV remote. That's all I can think about now.
Dude, how could you search for an Apple TV remote? I discovered this. It's like this is the classic. Apple. Just Google it, damn it! Right, just Google it because we couldn't find the Apple TV remote, so I went in and Googled lost Apple TV remote, and it said, "Well, it's stupid." Download the Apple TV remote.
Did it call
app.
You stupid? That seems weird.
So, it did. Siri said, hey, stupid.
So that app, as long as your TV's on the same Wi-Fi as that app
which
is
you can
on,
put on your iPad, which you do have, even though you don't have an iPhone.
I do, and I have. But here's the thing. I do go do that, but I have to go steal my kid's iPad because I don't have an iPad. So he has one. But I have to go steal his after he goes to bed, which is fine, but it still annoys me because they seem to have designed this remote specifically to get lost. Anyway, the Nintendo Switch is what we're here to talk about now. So Zelda Breath of the Wild. The only argument I've seen is whether or not it is literally the best Zelda game ever.
Right.
Like, whoa.
I haven't played it, so I'm not going to go to that.
I have not played enough of it yet, it's wonderful. It's great, and it's different than any of the other Zelda games because this is the first Zelda game that we're seeing that is actually truly open world, which is incredible. Coming from, like being an MMO player and liking those kinds of games where you can kind of go off the the main quest and explore on your own and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
She's a multifaceted threat.
That's right.
Triple threat.
Yeah.
So you like the Zelda game.
I'm a Zelda fan. I'm quite a Zelda fan. I'm a little skeptical just because Skyward Sword was the last game that we saw released and it wasn't great.
So are you?
It wasn't the best.
So I mean, where are you ranking this one currently?
I really can't because I haven't put in more than maybe like an hour. I don't.
I'm very poor
and I do not own a Switch yet.
But you went to Best Buy and played for like an hour.
No, I have a friend. However. I have a friend because the Switch is portable, so you can bring it with you. So I have a friend that had one the other day. And I was
But there's got to be somebody out there who'd like to help you out with a Switch game. Somebody get you a Switch game. Somebody out there now.
Somebody out there, just for a good cause, get you a Switch game so that I can come back on this podcast and talk about Zelda in detail.
Yeah. That's right.
At the International World Headquarters.
Who wouldn't want that?
Palatial.
I like this. I know I like this. Let's get her a Switch. Just bring it to Factor. We'll take care of it.
Because you need one.
I don't know
how you've gone this long without one.
I don't.
Is that the movie with what's his face? Switch? No.
No. That's the song. Oh, there was the song.
It's a song.
Yeah, that's the Will Smith song.
It's Will Smith.
Yeah. Anyway,
are you getting jiggy with it or what? Tell me the truth. Come on.
Bringing it back. So the Switch numbers are insanely high. We haven't actually gotten to that. So the Switch. Here's my main point. The Switch numbers are incredibly high. This thing is sold out everywhere. Breath of the Wild is doing really, really well. However, there are still a lot of folks who are not happy.
Yeah.
And there's some basic physical design issues.
Yeah.
You were telling us about the one with the power.
My nephew is a developer, and he's got a friend who got a Nintendo Switch
that
developer pack.
That is the pickup line of 2007.
Right?
Hey, baby. my nephew, he's a developer.
But he, his friend has a Nintendo Switch, but it's the developer pack. But it's identical to the regular store-bought Switch. Right. They didn't do anything. They didn't beef it up for developers.
Which is something you normally would do.
Right. So that makes it difficult for them to develop new games. Second of all, the power port on the actual tablet itself is on the bottom. So if you're trying to use the kickstand and power at the same time, you're screwed.
Yeah. I also heard someone complain about the fact that it does run out. It does die. It's not.
Yeah.
It's a pro and a con in the same sense that it's not battery operated, such as the Wii remote. So you don't have to constantly change the batteries and waste money on that. However, it does die, and you do have to recharge it. And it's obviously not like an instant.
Can you use it with a Nintendo Cube? Because I think we have one of those.
The GameCube.
Oh, I love
the GameCube.
Now you're better off just sticking with the GameCube. I think it's a better investment.
Finding Nemo.
Right. It's a better long-term investment.
Clearly. All right, so that's our Nintendo Switch update. We'll let you know if we find anything else interesting here. Next, Brett Ratner, who is not a great director.
He's a very good director and producer.
He's all right. But you have him to thank, him and his production company to thank in part for Batman v Superman.
And most of the X-Men movies.
And most of the, well, not the good
what,
ones.
What though. Happened in yeah. the movie? Batman v Superman.
Oh, we had a whole episode.
It was mostly about Martha.
Which one won?
Martha.
Stewart?
Martha.
Stewart?
No.
I wish.
Martha Stewart would have been a welcome addition.
She's out of jail, though.
At least that's an interesting story.
That's true. Her and Snoop Dogg with their potluck dinners?
Yeah.
I love her and Snoop Dogg.
It was basically fighty, fighty, fighty. Oh, our moms have the same name. Let's hug. Oops, too late. You're dead.
No, listen.
The whole story.
Spoilers, Dan.
Okay. Hey.
Listen. There's a spear made of kryptonite.
Oh, that's
it
right.
It will kill Superman.
It should.
Mm-hmm. But you have an Amazon warrior woman who is incredibly proficient with weapons and who doesn't give a shit about kryptonite.
Right.
You give her the damn spear.
Yeah. And Lex Luthor already made up logos for all of our heroes.
So what did this guy do? What's this
anyway,
guy?
Anyway, so, yeah, I'm sorry. So Brett Ratner has come out and said that he did make up logos. I just clicked that. He made up the logos. That's awesome. Anyway, Brett Ratner has said that everything wrong with movies is basically Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is everything wrong with movies. Rotten Tomatoes, of course, being the movie review aggregate site.
What does that mean?
That the way that, well, it doesn't mean much because it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So let's start there.
So what is he saying?
He's saying that the way that Rotten Tomatoes pulls together all of these different sites and gives you this like real quick, in general, here's what all critics are saying about this, positive or negative. And this is where you either get a tomato or a green splat with a percentage based on how well it's being reviewed in aggregate. So they're pulling in from a bunch of different movie reviews and boiling it down to a number and a soundbite, basically.
Well, I think this is just kind of a testament to the internet and all of this
exactly.
in general. Like, Rotten Tomatoes is to movies as Yelp is to the food service industry. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a critic now.
He sounds like an old man saying, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
What's that?
P.E.P. Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
How could you say he's adequate? He's executive producer of Jersey Boys. I love those guys.
Well, I'm not saying he hasn't
done
anything.
Well, he didn't
do
any of the singing, though.
Right.
That's true.
The main reason I want to bring up the story, though, is because one of his criticism is that the days of proper film critiques, film journalism, is gone. And I think it's easy to come to that conclusion, but we had three that I wanted to highlight real quick. For those of you that are looking for real proper in-depth movie analysis and a real true honest to critique, I had three that I wanted to run past you in response to Brett, because he's wrong on pretty much every note here. But the first one, Film Crit Hulk, that's Film CRIT Crit Hulk, is a guy, you'll see him on Birth, Movies, Death mostly. He does an incredible film analysis. He does a great job at reviewing movies and discussing what's going on with him. As a matter of fact, his review of Batman v Superman is probably one of the best ones ever. And greatest of all, he finally stopped typing in all caps.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, his reviews were his reviews were
very, like, very passionate. I mean,
well, he was supposed to be like Hulk as a film critic, so it's
it.
Always him
He's
shouting
just
everything, and he even uses some of the same language, like Hulk think this need work, you know that. Guy. But he does incredibly insightful stuff, and a lot of his stuff is like 40,000 words, like it's long, but it's really, really good. Also, Movies with Mikey, which we have talked about here,
Chainsaw Suit
YouTube series, Movies with Mikey, just the best.
Yeah, he only does about a movie a month, but he puts a lot into it, and it's a really really great.
And the last one I wanted to point out for you guys, linoleum-knife.com, linoleum knife. There's like three movie reviewers that come together there, and they do stuff in other places, but they do a lot of their stuff there. And these guys, one of the guys, Dave White, originally of movies.com, well, not originally, formerly of movies.com, just really, really great film reviews. So mm-hmm. if you happen to be a cinephile and you want to find proper reviews, tell Brett he can blow it out and check out those three sites, Film Crit Hulk, Movies with Mikey, and Linoleum Knife.
So there was he talking about the genre of film critics on the internet or just Rotten Tomatoes?
He says Rotten Tomatoes is representative of the problems across the board.
Okay.
Which is overly simplistic and ignores the fact that Hollywood keeps making
and I think
really crappy
a
movies.
A big part of that is because his biggest movie ever, BVS, got the pretty much the worst reviews ever.
Really?
So he's a little Rotten Tomatoes. Sally right. Sassy Pants about
yeah.
the whole thing.
And if you would ask him, people would see that bad review, say, oh, that's a bad movie, but I love comic books, so I'm going to go see it anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go into it already with there. A sour note in my mouth, you know?
Well, and this is the thing, too, because these movies are having – Rotten Tomatoes having zero impact on whether or not people go see a movie.
Yeah, because that movie made a little bit of cash.
Yeah, 900 million.
Yeah.
Not Marvel money.
Right.
But 900 million, so, you know.
Them's fighting words.
It's not Marvel money. It's embarrassing. I think at 900 million, Marvel fires someone. I don't know exactly how it works, but
exactly.
they have to close. That means they have to close their mint for a day.
I think I just heard that Doctor Strange made 877 million worldwide.
Okay, so.
And that was Doctor Strange. That wasn't.
That's like
Avengers.
Listen, Doctor Strange was incredible.
Right, but that's not a team up. That's not Batman versus Superman.
Yeah, that's their C-suite. That's like yeah. their
The direct comparison would be Civil War,
which made $1 billion. It was starring Humpty Back Snickerbunch, so.
Oh, right. We do love Humpty Back Snickerbunch. He's and the cape, really. Mostly it starred the cape, I think.
Yeah,
the cape was the
credit to the cape.
Yeah, I don't know.
Co-starring.
Oh, and yeah, and Humperdinck.
Snigglefridge Cumberbatch.
So up next, we have a This Week in Elon triple feature.
Ah.
Damn it, Elon. I mean.
Well, he didn't make it in last week because you weren't here.
You know, and you know what else happened, too? This is true. We had an article that we had to cut from Jeff Bezos that was going to be on the list for This Week in Geek.
And Elon heard we were going to put Bezos, and he was like, nope.
Nope.
No.
No. Exactly. He triple hit his way, and he's like, get him out of there.
Listen, before I go any further, I have a question. Does it resonate with any of you guys that Al is like the Seth Rogen vocal doppelganger?
Oh, yeah. I've known that. Known that since I heard Seth Rogen, actually.
Do I have his laugh?
Can you do the laugh? Because that's worth $1 million.
No, he's got a very different laugh.
Okay, that's good. Because I don't think I can. Of course, let me tell you what. I wouldn't mind being Seth Rogen.
Oh, well, yeah.
There's no problem. I have lots of money and smoke a lot of weed. Neither of those are true about me right now, but if I had lots of money, chances are I'd smoke a lot of weed.
That's what would happen. All right, so Elon.
Anyway. And then you would laugh like that.
I would. Oh, my God. It comes full circle, man. So we have triple feature here. First, SpaceX is getting ready to launch the first recycled rocket.
That's cool.
So if you recall, we had actually discussed about a month
They've
or so
They've done a couple
ago.
Landings now.
Right, where we had one where we actually saw the video and we talked about it on the show. They had the video of the thing actually landing right back and sticking the landing.
Which is the coolest thing ever.
Yes.
It is, although just to be clear, the launch pad is also moving. So, you know, like it's not as impressive.
To hit a moving target? That's not that interesting?
I feel like that's a little bit more impressive.
The target moves towards the rocket as well as the rocket moves.
I don't think anyone's going to agree with you here.
No, they're not.
The fact
no.
that they can land it doesn't matter where they land it. The fact
exactly.
that they can soft land it is
that's
astounding.
That's like a 500-mile touchdown pass.
But
the wide receiver was moving, so it doesn't count.
I'm pulling a Danielle here, and I'm not impressed.
Well, of course.
No, but anyway, so yeah, but the real big thing here, folks, is this does two things. One, it's never been done before, which is awesome. But number two, this reduces the cost, which is one of the big mm-hmm. things that SpaceX is all about, trying to reduce the cost so that eventually folks can afford to go to space. And then the second thing that this does is reduce the environmental impact. It takes a lot to put together one of these rockets, and then they explode or they burn up in the atmosphere. They do whatever they're going
to
do.
Or sink to the bottom of the ocean.
So this reduces all of that, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal.
Which we had with the space shuttle. System, but right. that's gone now.
Yeah.
Of course, missy shuttles.
NASA never managed to quite stick that landing.
But I still don't understand why, if, okay, he's got his rockets,
uh-huh.
right? He's got his Tesla cars. Why can't he make a rover and put it on the moon? It seems like a weekend excursion for him.
He just doesn't have
a weekend project.
Well, it's probably just very pedestrian.
Oh,
for him.
He's busy building his tunnel. That's why.
Right.
That's what he's doing with his weekends. He's building that tunnel under L.A.
to get home
from work.
Excellent. That's great.
I still maintain that he's using. I still think the tunnel is using the same technology that Shredder and Krang use.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, that's got to be the plan. I mean, I guarantee you, he was watching an old episode of Ninja Turtles and thought.
Right. So what's his beef with AI?
So Elon Musk is among those who says, AI, you know, we're kind of begging for Skynet Terminator-level overthrow, right, guys? And this comes from the March episode of Vanity Fair, and I have to read this quote to you from this article.
All right.
Elon Musk began warning about the possibility of AI running amok 3 years ago. It probably hasn't eased his mind when one of the partners in DeepMind, Shane Legg, stated flatly, this is a direct quote, "I think human extinction will probably occur, and technology will likely play a part in this." Okay. You know that you're developing something that you believe will probably lead to the extinction of mankind.
Yeah.
That's what you just said there. And Elon's whole thing is Alphabet, which is the owner of Google, which is owning a lot of these AI projects and such here, could have perfectly good intentions, but still, quote, produce something evil by accident, unquote, including possibly, and this is another quote, a fleet of artificial intelligence enhanced robots capable of destroying mankind. He has also gone on to say that this AI thing that we're doing is essentially summoning a demon.
Oh, well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah,
and he said this at a conference, at a big conference in front of a bunch of other developers, and so developers now becomes a running gag in their circles with those folks that are developing it, and they'll wrap up their lunch break and say, well, we better get back to summoning.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It kind of makes sense when you think about the theory that he believes in, that we are living in a projection, a holographic projection of another universe. And so if this is just a holographic projection, we're creating a new type of intelligence that could lead to our demise, then that's not that different from summoning a demon, I would suppose.
I feel like every time I come on this show, it gets incredibly existential.
We do that.
That's our thing.
Oh, my God. I thought this was supposed to be light and fun, and let's talk about nerd stuff, and now I'm here like, what does my existence even mean?
But if it makes you feel any better, we'll be discussing Sharknado within the next 10 minutes.
Excellent. Okay.
Keanu Reeves can handle it. He can explain all this to you.
That's right.
Just take the blue pill or
only,
the red
if only
pill.
Keanu would show up. I don't even know which pill. If only Keanu would show up and explain existentialism to me.
It's okay. There's no spoon. It's fine. Listen,
I don't want Keanu needs to finish making Bill and Ted 2, and I don't want to see him until he's done.
They made Bill and Ted
2. He was very busy with John Wick, okay.
Oh, John Wick looked pretty.
It was pretty.
So it seems like instead of the artificial intelligence running the machines, he thinks that our brains should run the machines through his new Neuralink.
Neuralink, which is the name of the company that he has purchased. And Neuralink's stated purpose is to basically give our brains the ability to interact directly with machines. So you can get that little chip installed somewhere or something like that, and so that you can mentally think and things will happen.
No. This sounds worse than AI takeover. This sounds like you have a chip in your brain that then begins to control you.
What if it was just a hat you can put on and take off?
What if you can't take off the hat?
That's right.
Bum, bum, bum.
Here's what if he can.
You know what?
Ooh, you got me there. Good comeback.
So And this obviously has tons of implications, both for the science, the medical stuff, for the military applications, the entertainment applications. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is only just a matter of time before somebody eventually figures out how to wire our brain directly into our phones.
Well, we talked about this with the first episode or one of the first episodes of the White Rabbit Project,
right,
on Netflix,
right,
where they hooked up electrodes to one of the people's brains, and then hooked up those same electrodes to the other person's arm. And she was able to think, lift your arm, and he lifted his arm without any control.
Dude, you're freaking me out.
I know, right?
But now take that technology, and instead of thinking, hey, I wonder what the name of that actor in that one movie was, you think it, and it accesses IMDb.
And he shows up.
And you know. Maybe on a heads-up display.
Well, it sounds very similar. So have you read about the temporary tattoos that contain basically, like, electric pulses, and they're kind of being tested more for medical purposes, where they can the theory is that they can replace having to go to the actual doctor and get an annual physical. Like, you put this temporary tattoo on and it kind of like runs a system analysis on your body and comes back with you know, hey.
Mine's going to come back and say, you're still fat, dude. Like, that's what it's going to.
Is it like a tattoo of Dr. McCoy with that little thing?
That'd be so cool. I'd get one.
Oh, a little tricorder tattoo?
Yeah.
I have an article here that's pulled up that says temporary tattoos could make electronic telepathy and telekinesis possible, and I think that's probably too far.
That's telekinesis?
This is not.
But the operative word in that headline is could.
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 Yes.
Absolutely.
Should?
And I think that.
But Elon is doing this.
He's
yes.
making money is yep. what he's doing.
Absolutely. All of the money.
He's got his money on his mind and his mind on his money.
And his brain and then also in the computer.
His brain and the computer.
Wait, hang on. I just had a horrifying thought. If we're doing this Neuralink thing, does that mean that our thoughts instantly go somewhere?
No. That can't ever happen. That's not okay, ever.
Thank you.
For the rest of forever.
Thank you.
Shut it down.
I don't.
Call your congressman.
Well, like he's going to help. Or she.
Or she. Yeah.
Or she, thank or you. She.
Stephanie. Yeah,
but I, you know, I
Ooh.
Absolutely, yeah, I don't
Ooh.
I don't want my every thought
like
to go anywhere.
Like, our browser histories are bad enough. Nobody yeah. needs to know what's going on in here.
Yeah, that, exactly.
Aki. No Aki.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not happy with that. So, yeah, we need to definitely, I want to know how that works before I do anything else. All right, moving on here. We have word here, Carrie Fisher, God rest her soul. We discussed earlier a couple weeks ago that The Last Jedi was doing some reshoots, and there was rumors that they were going to. And I think we said on the show that they kind of had to do something with her because she obviously isn't going to be around to film episode 9.
Aren't they doing that thing that they do with that thing that they do?
They said they're not going to do that thing.
They're
with
not.
The, they
they're
do.
Not going to horribly CGI her.
They're not
they?
Doing because any CGI. She will not be in. Okay. The next one.
Huh. Is this the one about Han Solo? How he got his name?
Nope, that's the other one.
That's a different one.
Yep. So this is, I know, it's all over the place here. But feel free to listen to For Geek's Sake on a regular basis from now on.
Is this a trilogy too, or is this part of the...
This is part
this
of the
is
trilogy.
Part of the
trilogy
third trilogy.
The second trilogy, we don't
the
acknowledge. Third. Come
that's
on.
Right.
Come on.
So this is for episode...
You don't like Jar Jar Binks?
Oh.
We've
only got an hour on this show. Okay.
Unless they actually made Jar Jar a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
At which point,
have
you
bought
know.
Into that fan theory?
No, it's, I don't think it actually happened, but I think if Lucasfilm was smart, or Disney was smart, the second they bought it, like, all right, let's just retcon that. Everybody will be okay with it.
That'd be
Everybody,
great.
We can go along with this. If Snoke comes out as Jar Jar, I'm in.
It still goes along with the ending that he's got in the novels now.
Yeah, that's true.
You could still read it that way.
That's true. So anyway, the part of the thing here. So Carrie Fisher's passing is not going to affect episode 8 at all. I'm probably okay with this. I didn't actually mind. I mean, look, the CGI they did for Moff Tarkin in Rogue One was phenomenal. And if they did something like that, I would be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do something to say goodbye to this character. And I think as fans, there's a need for fans to mourn.
Closure, man. We need closure.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of my question is, are they going to, like, do something for... I don't want to use the word kill off out of respect.
I think that's what they have to do.
So,
I think there's...
I mean,
no, they do. They have to kill off her
they
character.
They have to.
What I'm guessing, since it's saying that it's not going to affect... The reshoots aren't affecting it. There was probably like a narrow escape that she was going to make, and they're going to cut that so that like the planet that she was on or the ship that she was on explodes and she didn't make it off.
Yeah.
That's either that or she dies off screen.
Yeah.
Maybe she was in Alderaan the whole time and she's just a projection of Elon Musk's Neuralink spaceship that lands on the postage stamp.
We're getting meta now.
You know, I really, really hope that they pay respect to her and one of not most famous, but the funniest quotes.
Bikini.
And I really just hope that she, in the movie, goes in outer space, strangled by her underwear.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be great.
Absolutely. We talked about that, to her her wish to, that's what she wanted to tell them, that's what they did. That's good.
Can we move on? Everybody loves Carrie Fisher, though. Everybody loves Carrie Fisher.
Everybody loves
right?
her.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Carrie Fisher?
So where were you in 1977? Oh, you guys weren't around in 1977 when I was a sophomore in high school,
about
summertime,
that.
Going to the movie theater. Hey, you want to go see Star Wars?
You
like,
were a
sure.
sophomore in high school in 77?
Yeah, I graduated
You
high
are aging remarkably better than me.
So
way better
what
than
kind
me.
Of impact
That's why he's on
would
TV
Carrie
and
Fisher
you're on a
have on a bunch of teenage boys in 1977? It was profound.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's horrible. But it is in HD, so I got that going.
Okay, well, when he's referring to horrible, Dave is not, in fact, referring to Carrie Fisher.
No.
He is referring to his own mugshot, which is currently up. I guess it's not a mugshot.
Quite literally a mugshot.
Yeah, it's a shot of him because Dan did a great job putting together our show notes this week.
And you spelled my name correctly.
Hey.
We do have exactly that much professionalism.
That's right.
That is the exact amount of professionalism we have here for Geek's Sake. So we've got ourselves a bona fide weatherman, a bona fide certified meteorologist.
Yep.
And, of course, this is for Geek's Sake, so we're going to ask him about the most ridiculous section of his work that we could possibly manage to draw a line
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
So, movie weather.
Movie weather.
Weather as it relates to movies.
In the movies.
In the movies.
Okay.
Let's start here.
All right.
Tell me, when you're watching movies, what is it that drives you nuts? What
makes you cringe?
What makes you cringe every time it comes on?
Well, I'm probably going to be a lame guest in this way because I believe fully in the willing suspension of disbelief.
Okay.
The movies. Mm-hmm. I love the movies. And it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I want to see Carrie Fisher be, you know, remembered correctly. But, you know, it's like, what do you mean you're not going to have her on because of whatever, whatever? Mm-hmm. Let's just do it. So when I see something goofy in the movies, it doesn't even, I mean, like The Day After Tomorrow, that whole goofiness.
We're going to talk about that movie in depth.
It's like, please. Why, I mean, they got a bunch of people together, they had lunch, they pitched it, right? they got craft services, and then people were key grips, and there was a best boy, and I don't want to rain on that.
Get it. Yeah. Yeah.
See what you did there?
So none of it bothers me.
Okay, well, that's good. That's
However,
good. Like
it is fun. It can be fun.
So
science and movies in general. What's the one right now about the gold? The guy who finds the gold down in the like he's there's a movie that was out in the last Oscar.
Well, if nobody has a cape, we don't know about it.
If it was nominated for an Oscar,
That impression listening to some of the shows in the last couple weeks, and I also very much came to the conclusion that I don't have any idea what any of you all are talking about. But no, there was a movie. I think in the Oscar buzz this past year where it was like a famous actor, and he was like was the geologist, and he was walking around top of the mountain because they're going to dig a gold mine somewhere in Central America or something. And it was like, stop. But you know, why get bunched up over details? Let's not let facts get in the way of a good story.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
one of my favorite stories about a scientist getting upset is Neil deGrasse Tyson. When he watched Titanic, he instantly saw the stars and said, "That's the wrong sky.
That's the wrong stars. That's the southern hemisphere."
He mentioned it in an interview, and James Cameron saw the interview, and when he did the remaster, he called up Neil deGrasse Tyson and said, "Can you tell me how to get the right stars?"
Yeah,
and they fixed it.
James Cameron should have said, "What's the difference between us? We can start with our bank accounts."
Exactly.
yeah, Neil, those are the wrong stars.
Yeah.
I get it.
I remember he also was pissed on The Daily Show because the globe was spinning the wrong way.
Yeah,
they fixed that. There are some goofy things like that.
Well, okay, so let's start with some of those goofy things. Let's start with the world famous documentary Sharknado.
Sharknado. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Docudrama.
The E! True Hollywood Story.
Right.
Part three, I believe it was. Oh Hell No. Was took place here in Orlando.
They're now on number 5.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What's a franchise, man?
I mean, exactly.
You gotta squeeze that blood out of it, but you can, right?
And they keep squeezing.
All right.
So here's what I need to understand: what is it going to take to make a Sharknado?
What do you need to take to get a Sharknado?
Right. Let's assume that all the sharks were having a party, all at one spot in the ocean.
Would help.
Let's assume that the sharks all got together.
Did
first.
Did you see any of the video of the humpback whales traveling in gangs in the Pacific?
No.
Like. This year, they have all this video of humpback whales traveling in gangs, like much larger pods than typical. And so the question is, what would you call a gang of humpback whales? And, of course, it would be whales angels. So let's go back to Sharknado.
Uh-huh.
Now, please.
In Florida.
Wait, can we talk about whale-nado?
bigger cyclone. So in Florida, we have water spouts, right?
Uh-huh.
So we are all familiar with the standard tornado, twister tornado. Tornadoes come from the middle of thunderstorms, like halfway up.
Right? All right.
So they are mid-level vortices that spin up because of the interaction between two very large-scale systems, and they start in the middle of the thunderstorm, which can be pretty damn high, right? 30,000 feet or so, depending on the thunderstorm. So water spouts, which we actually have in Florida, and just the same as dust devils, they are surface-based circulations. What water spouts and dust devils require is a lot of air rising. So typically it takes heat and heat and humidity. That's why the Florida Bay between the peninsula and the Keys, you get a lot of water spouts because it's hot and humid. It also helps if the winds are light so it doesn't disturb the circulation. But if you could get a good water spout, and you can, even in the Banana River, the Indian River, and a lot of sharks at the same time, I think you could get a Sharknado.
Awesome.
But are we talking like full size Sharknado? Are we talking like
no
baby Sharknado?
EF0.
Okay.
So it's not F, which is the Fujita scale. Okay. It's now EF, gets it's the enhanced Fujita scale, because I think he did something like that with his hair.
Oh, okay.
So it's how it became the EF, which is
happening. Super Saiyan? Can we go anyway? It's different. That's a different Fujita.
So I think that best case scenario, you could get a weak, short lived Sharknado.
Okay. So shark being flung.
So I'm here to
like
say
like onto
that.
A boat.
I'm standing, okay. Sitting here today saying Sharknado, absolutely possible. I'm not
awesome.
Going to debunk it.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm
now,
absolutely possible.
What do you think? I mean, how far could we throw, let's say, a smaller shark? I mean, are we going to be able to fling that at somebody like sitting on the shore?
Well,
can we get that off of there?
Yes. The good news with water spouts and dust devils is that they really are not that strong.
Right.
So we're talking.
Okay, so we're probably not able to fling
to 75,
a shark.
Well, I don't know, 75 mile per hour wind.
All right.
I mean, yeah. A small shark, small child. Chipmunks? Squirrel? No, listen, it's okay. I love children. I really do. Between two pieces of bread, some mustard and mayonnaise.
So squirrel NATO, absolutely.
So you're saying okay. So you're saying Florida Bay between the,
yes.
Like around the Keys, have a chainsaw in the boat
just in case. Which people have had to deal with.
So we're talking water spouts, which are they start on the water.
Yes.
And it's from the bottom up.
Yes.
So a true tornado starts from the top down.
Halfway,
so meteorologically speaking.
Ooh,
you got all the syllables
showing
off. Impressed by.
I've known some spelling bees in my day. That was more pronunciation. Are there pronunciation bees? Anyway, so what are the chances of us actually getting a true tornado over top of water? That doesn't.
Is that just a hurricane?
Well, hurricanes don't have a lot of tornadoes in them because the dynamics, the macro, the large scale, the synoptic scale dynamics aren't really in place. Hurricanes get tornadoes when they come on shore. Mm-hmm. So unlike the types of storms that generate tornadoes, a hurricane, most of the winds in the hurricane are blowing in the same direction. They're curved inland. And so when a hurricane comes on shore, so it's moving across the water, there's no frictional force. Give me your hand. I love doing this. It's friction.
I'm very aware of what friction is.
So the wind's coming across.
Now you are.
So the wind's coming across the ocean, no friction. It hits the land, there's friction. It slows down a little bit. And when it slows down, the Coriolis effect is lessened.
Okay, what's the Coriolis effect?
So the Coriolis effect is the apparent effect of the apparent force that causes free-flowing objects in the northern hemisphere to be deflected to the right, mm-hmm. or free-flowing objects in the southern hemisphere to be deflected to the left.
Okay.
So even though hurricanes are spinning counterclockwise inward, they're kind of turning left, there is a force pulling them to the right because it's two forces in equilibrium. And so the winds are coming in like this. They hit land. They slow down. The Coriolis force effectively is lessened instantaneously, and those winds turn that way.
Okay, so that's why they
tend surface,
to. That's why they
aloft,
bank when they hit land.
Yes, and then aloft, the winds are still blowing in the same direction. So you got two different wind directions with height, and that's shear, and that causes that thunderstorm to begin to turn. So I know this is getting.
No, this is great. No, this is great.
So landfalling tropical cyclones, tropical storm, tropical depression, hurricane, cyclone, typhoon, blah, blah, blah. All those storms, landfalling ones are close to land, do generate tornadoes, but on land.
Okay.
And they're fast-moving, fairly short-lived, E1, E2, but they're dangerous enough. If you were in Central Florida during Charlie, mm-hmm. like in the Maitland mm-hmm. area, a lot of the damage we saw were not from tornadoes, but from what we refer to as gustnadoes, which is really the same thing as the surface base. It's something that spins up at the surface, very, very short-lived. So that's why A Street got diced and chopped up.
I've seen a ton of those during storms here.
Yeah.
All right, so what was your question?
No, tell me. Is there suction over water, though? Could a hurricane suck up sharks?
Could a hurricane suck up sharks? No, a hurricane couldn't suck up sharks.
Darn it. And a true, honest-to-God, tornado does not form over water. It forms over land. That was the question. We can get a.
Well, that's
we
now
can
you're
get
not, you're getting
shark in, water spout.
You're getting into syntax there. A water spout that moves on land is then referred to as a tornado.
Okay.
A tornado, like when you think of Twister, and I heard y'all talking about Twister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on the docket.
We're
going
to go there for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
those types of tornadoes form over land only because that's where the large scale dynamics exist.
Okay.
To allow that to happen.
Okay.
But I can't say. And no, you can have a tornadoing supercell thunderstorm over the water. So you can't. So, and I say that out of experience. So
we would certainly hope so.
Well, no. I mean, so, you know, radar here in Florida, you can have the type of thunderstorm. So a garden variety thunderstorm goes up, and then it goes down. And that's what we see in Florida most. They go up, they go down. The heat and humidity goes up, and then it rains itself out. A thunderstorm capable of generating a tornado, the entire storm itself is rotating. And that's referred to as a mesocyclone, meso being medium or the middle, mm-hmm. cyclone being cyclone. So the whole thing's turning. And so when you have a rotating thunderstorm, typically that develops in what's known as a supercell thunderstorm, okay. which is a long-lived, very powerful, it's a violently rotating updraft. And it's a very powerful updraft. This is, I kind of feel like this is getting dirty. Is it?
Violently rotating.
That just means that you really enjoy your
powerful.
Work.
Powerful. And so you can have that type of supercell thunderstorm over the water. So you could actually have a tornado form over water. I'm here to say it could happen.
I think it's safe to say, listeners, we have proven that Sharknado
unequivocally
is a true story.
It's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Let's all log on to Wikipedia
and change that right now.
Fix that. Let's do this thing. Okay, next one.
I'm spent.
This is. I'm sorry. We're not done.
Okay. Well, you know what they followed that up with was the Lavalanchulas. So
we're not
going to touch on Lavalanchulas.
No. Okay.
Next, because that would require a geologist, not a meteorologist. Dan.
Oh, my bad.
My master's is in geosciences, so I could probably help you with lava if you wanted to. But
no, we'll pause because we need to discuss the day after tomorrow.
We should.
I don't even know what happened the day
after
tomorrow.
That's
really
the day
cold.
This podcast posts.
Okay, exactly. Yeah,
this is so here's the main piece. In the day after tomorrow, the whole idea is that we've officially screwed up the environment. The climate beyond the tipping point, and so we descend into an ice age that hits over the course of
24 hours,
48 hours. Okay, so first, that seems
not
perfectly valid, and completely scientifically sound, right? No,
sure.
What would it take to cause? I mean, what's it going to take to make Florida snow?
Well, you know,
in
it's
general,
Florida.
It does every 10 years or so.
We know it gets cold, and that has to do with the rotation of the axis of the Earth and how far we get from the sun. But that's where we get winter in the first place. But to get to the snow piece, what is it going to take to be able
to have
to...
cold and moisture? So you're asking a lot of different questions.
Okay.
So the day after tomorrow, clearly large scale climate change occurs over geologic time spans. Mm-hmm.
So more than 48 hours?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's disappointing.
So as much as I'd like to say it could happen, because I'm a positive guy.
Right.
Uh-huh. Sure, it could happen.
So you're saying there's a chance.
It would take at least a couple weeks.
What's
is what
the word
you're
on the street? So was there a wiretap? No. So no, seriously. But now I heard there was a tap. No. There was no wiretap.
Different tap.
You're bringing up an interesting point in terms of just intellectual conversation because – you know, climate change has been going on for 4.5 billion years, mm-hmm. right? The climate of the Earth has changed. So the first atmosphere is likely hydrogen and helium, which are far too light to be held by the Earth's gravity. So it got stripped away when the sun turned itself on. Then the sun did turn itself on. The sun was a glob of stuff, and then enough stuff got squished together to cause fusion and it turned itself on. Solar wind. You have a question?
No.
Could you raise your hand?
No, I'm sorry. No, I was just resting my elbow. I'm actually very interested. Please continue.
So the first atmosphere was a completely different atmosphere. And then the atmosphere that was around for 2 billion plus years was mostly what outgassed from the molten core of the Earth. So you got your nitrous, you got your methane, you got your CO2, tons of CO2. You have, what's the other one?
Sulfur.
Sulfur, methane, and completely lacking oxygen. None, zero. Second atmosphere, and for 2 billion years, no oxygen, no free oxygen. Right, mm-hmm. No O2. So when you think about oxygen, it's always two atoms together making an oxygen molecule. Like when you see me at the doctor's office with my oxygen tank, a little triangle doesn't say O, it says O2, because oxygen and nitrogen are always diatomic in the atmosphere. So anyway, there was no oxygen. What did it take to get the first oxygen? This is a question.
Oh,
we have no idea. Let's go be clear.
There's going to be a quiz.
Probably plant life.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, what's up, and show so, off?
It's called terraforming.
What's up?
Ooh, so what are you saying?
I like how he
says are you saying? Are you saying
so
somebody terraformed the Earth?
Yeah,
Elon?
Nature
did. I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, and scientists, so we had this atmosphere that was non-sustainable, couldn't sustain life. You needed oxygen. You had to have plants, single cell cyanobacteria. Where'd they come from? Now, the finger of God, Okay. It could be the primordial soup. Mm-hmm. It could be comets that brought lots of ice to the planet during the heavy bombardment period, 3.3 to 4.5 billion years ago. It could have been Chariots of the Gods, which is really an old reference for you guys, which is the idea that aliens implanted life on Earth. So we don't know, right? We don't know. But it took the first plants, and these plants were in the ocean. There was nothing in what continents existed. It was just
algae.
But in the ocean, because then, without free oxygen in the atmosphere, the UV rays of the sun were so powerful that nothing could live on land. Mm. So we had to get oxygen in the atmosphere first to then get O3, which is ozone, not O2, O3, to block enough UV light for little icky, squishy things way down deep to come up to the surface and be anywhere near the surface to ever crawl out on land. Mm-hmm. And so that was a whole nother. So the rise of oxygen is a whole nother massive climate change. And then you get into the last couple million years where we are now in a glacial period. So we're theoretically in a cold Earth, even though it's warm, so we're interglacial. So the question is, are we going to go back to a cold period? Are we going to continue with the interglacial? Are we warming? Are we not? So climate change has been happening on Earth, and all climate scientists know this, all geologists know this, all Earth scientists know this. Climate change has been happening on Earth since the beginning of Earth. So you cannot get an ice age overnight.
Or in 48 hours.
Now, you can get the slushy truck to come, right?
Okay.
And you can put ice down.
What if we got a really big slushy truck?
Right. What if we got an ice cube, an iceberg? We brought it from Antarctica. We'd all have fresh water.
Boom. Problem solved. There we go. So then here's the follow-up then. We'll assume that we didn't get it in two days. It took us a little longer. So now we've got this vicious ice snow thing going on outside, and it's all snowy and cold. In the movie, it's getting cold, and the cold is moving forward almost like a rain cloud, and just carrying it like a rain cloud. The ice just going through, and if it catches up to you, you instantly freeze to death.
Oh yeah, there's a wall of cold.
Yes, until they get into the library.
Which would also be a good roller derby name.
Ooh,
wall of cold.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Or a band name.
Or a team name.
Yeah. There's lots
we do form walls.
Ice walls.
That's very relevant.
Yeah. No,
so there's a wall of cold.
So the wall of cold. So what the heroes do is they run into the library and they close the door.
Sure.
And when they close the
door. You want to keep the door shut to keep the air conditioning in.
Yes. And so what happened now? And to be fair, on the other side of this big, huge, like stereotypical ancient library thing, there is a big hearth where there's a fire burning.
Yeah.
But the second they close the door, the ice stops at the door and it can't get in.
Oh.
Because marble
and gaps in the door. I don't know. Just suddenly you can't do that anymore. So can weather be stopped by a closed door?
Well, cold air can be stopped by a closed door.
Okay. So that part was legit.
I mean, and wood is a poor thermal, it doesn't have thermal conductivity. Wood has poor thermal conductivity. Like tonight, when you go home and you stop at 7-Eleven and you get your tall boy of PBR, right?
Right,
and you take it to the counter.
It's my tradition, yeah.
And the guy at 7-Eleven is going to put it in a what? What's he going to put
it in? A paper bag.
Paper bag. Now, is he putting it in a paper bag so when you're driving down the road, the Winter Park police go, oh, that could be a Coca-Cola.
Obviously, everyone drinks their Coca-Cola out of paper bags.
He's putting it in a paper bag. It's paper is a great thermal insulator because paper's made out of
wood.
Wood.
And so, yeah, I think that if you have very, very cold air outside, closing the door, it could go a long way to keeping you warm inside.
Wow.
But I don't know how cold it was outside. Yeah,
that's why we live in houses. Well, hey, no, listen. So the problem with the movie was just the ice age hitting in 2 days.
Yeah.
No, I think I think there's a lot of problems in the movie.
Well, no, there's tons of actual other
casting.
Problems with the movie.
Writing
was terrible. All right. So just before we move on, before I let this one go,
all right.
Is there anything that could cause an ice age in 48 hours? I'm not asking this because I'm a supervillain.
No,
yeah. I'm just asking for a friend.
Well, what was Iron Fist? Was that the guy you were talking about a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. His review was in a couple weeks, but yes, we talked about
it. Were you the Iron Fist non-believer, or was that somebody else?
That was not me. Okay. That was not me.
Planets. So we all know the definition of a planet as decided back in 2006 by the International Astronomical Union. That planets are,
of course,
they travel around the sun. They are large enough that their own self gravity has overcome rigid bodily forces to create a hydrostatic shape sphere, and they've swept up their neighborhood of any debris. So planets have swept up their neighborhoods of debris. So the entire solar system was a big disk of stuff, and it spun around, and planets clumped stuff together and swept up their neighborhood. So between what's the next planet? Mars and Jupiter. There's a big area where it wasn't swept up. and that's the asteroid belt, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there was a planet forming in that particular orbit, and it probably got knocked out of orbit. It could have been knocked out of orbit by a passing nebula, any gravitational pull knocked out of orbit. It probably, and this is a big probably, capital P, hit the Earth shortly after the Earth formed, and that's how it got the moon, because it hit the Earth, and a lot of magma blew out, and then they reformed together, you got the Earth and the moon. And the reason why we think that, and this goes to the science of knowing, the reason why I think that is once Apollo came back with moon rocks, we realized the composition of the moon was very, very close to the composition of our mantle, not our crust or our core. So the point is that if there was at one time a planetary body in that orbit, it had that kind of a pronounced impact on Earth, certainly another collision or even a passing, let's just say we're zipping through the universe and this nebula comes out of nowhere or whatever, another, you know, some binary star system, and gets close enough, it could really throw us out of whack, and we could very instantly go into an ice age. Instantaneously. So I'm here to say
again,
it could happen. All right,
you heard it here first, listeners.
I was really hoping that I was going to be able to find and just like build some kind of super doomsday device that I would press and make everything super cold, but it sounds like I'm gonna have to move a nebula around.
Didn't
they do that on Phineas and Ferb?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think they doomsdayinator. There's all sorts of doomsday devices, and I just haven't decided which one I like. I mean, my friend hasn't decided.
Couldn't a large meteorite impact do that too?
I think, well, then you're talking about nuclear winter. Are you referring to like nuclear winter, or are you referring to just knocking us out of orbit?
Either knocking us out of orbit or a debris cloud.
So two separate things. I think the bigger concern to humanity, and I'm not concerned about it. I have no concern whatsoever about
this. Super positive guy.
But if you were concerned, if you were going to lay in bed at night and worry about things, mm-hmm. is sure, if you were struck by something large enough, it's going to change the tilt of the Earth. I mean, much of our seasons are based on the exact tilt of the Earth, which, by the way, changes on a period of 40,000 to 100,000 years. You know, if you spin a top on a table, it doesn't spin straight up and down, right? It does this, and that's called precession.
What was it called?
Precession.
See?
Precession.
Is that by Calvin Klein?
April knows. It is.
I feel like it's by Calvin Klein.
It is. So precession is when a top wobbles like that. Well, the Earth also wobbles. So our axis points at different places over, again, 100,000, 200,000 year time frames. But where it's pointing at any given time does have a big impact on our seasons and how seasonal we are. If it's closer to vertical, then we don't have dramatic seasons. If it's way over at 24 degrees, we have more dramatic seasons. And then you also have the elliptical nature of the planet's orbit, which we're not a perfect circle. Although today, at this time, we're pretty close to a perfect circle, not quite. But that changes over time as well. What was the question?
nuclear winter is where we were.
Yeah, pretty much nuclear winter.
Issues are, if you are hit by something large enough to dramatically change your angle of incidence or your spin or slow your spin or increase your spin or push you 10 feet out of orbit, I think those things have a pronounced change. You know, I always look at the world, the universe, and by the way, physics is the truth. The physics that describes that's physics is truth. I really have to ask how all this happened so randomly to fit together so well. So that's where my faith comes from, right? And I have people all the time, as a matter of fact, I have people all the time that want to engage me about faith and religion. And I'm like, they go together really, really well because physics tells us how it happens, but why it happened. Physics doesn't tell us. It tells us what's happening. But how it happened and why it happened, I think, comes from faith. So we are in this perfect orbit, in this perfect place, at this perfect angle, spinning at the perfect speed, that we're really happy, fat, dumb, and happy. That's no offense.
No. That's actually what I'm putting on my tombstone.
Fat, dumb, and happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how easy would it be for a meteor to push us out of that orbit? Slightly.
Right.
The other thing is, of course, is when you start getting – if you ever get anything that impacts Earth enough to break through the crust and you get any like excessive volcanism, all that volcanic gunk doesn't exist in the troposphere where we are. It exists in the stratosphere, and it will block the rays of the sun. So – the temperature of the Earth at any place at any time is a function of how much incoming solar radiation, insolation, or sunlight, simply, reaches the Earth's surface.
Awesome.
So if more sunlight reaches the Earth's surface, it will be warmer. If less sunlight reaches the Earth's surface. So anytime if you change that dramatically over 36 hours,
Okay. So yes.
So I'm down.
That's it. For a friend.
Exactly, and I'm here to get you back. Can I get a check from the producers of that show for that. I think they owe you. That movie.
Have we run out of time for Twister?
Oh boy.
No. Well, we run out of time for Twister, but I still have one more that we have to discuss very briefly here.
I just want to know if it's legit that they could belt themselves to a
yes,
pole.
Yes, absolutely.
That can happen?
No.
How fast are those winds?
This.
They would have gotten ripped in half. Shenanigans.
When you have an F5 tornado, and I hate to use this phrase twice in one 60-minute period, you know, finger of God, F5 tornado. That's what they refer to F5.
Yeah.
It's like the finger of God, boom. It will tear it. So it destroys everything, right? But foundations are left. They're not torn up.
Right.
Foundations are left, and most piping.
But
is
I'm not talking about the piping.
Foundation.
I'm talking about literally Bill Paxton, RIP,
getting ripped
in half by that leather belt.
Oh, would that have cut him in half?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a biology question.
What are you good for?
I don't think so, because it was a wide leather belt.
Why are you even on the show?
It's a good question. It's a wide leather belt. I think he would have been fine with that.
You're spreading the force out among a large enough area. I mean, if he was wrapped in razor wire, then yes, it would rip in half. But
it was only a couple of seconds. No, I think that was actually a very,
can we
very
at least,
viable
can we,
part
can
of
Can we at
of
least
it.
Say, like, internal bleeding? Maybe a little?
He would have been bruised.
He wouldn't have walked away happily.
It would have left a mark. But as you all mentioned in the show, he had Helen Hunt.
Right.
Right. That's all that really matters.
1980s Helen Hunt.
Yeah. Right. That's all that really matters at all. So I have to ask this one more time.
Right.
Because this one I'm really wanting to know. I don't care. The Storm and her power, X-Men, has the power to call down weather.
You've lost me now.
That's fine. I'll walk you through it here. I'll get you there.
Power to call down weather.
So, yes, she controls the weather. So she
of course, it's a she.
Right. She controls. She rises up. She calls down winds and earth and snow and things.
All right.
And strikes and throws lightning.
Okay.
Here's what I want to know.
All right.
When she uses that power, does she screw up the weather for, like, everyone? I mean,
absolutely.
If a butterfly flaps its wings.
That's right.
That's what I want to know. Like, so when she's doing this, is she causing... So if she does this in the Florida, is she causing droughts in Kansas?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Damn it, Storm. You're irresponsible.
She's a supervillain.
But isn't that the point of all of those movies? Is that they're irresponsible? Wasn't that the whole point of What's-His-Face talking to Spider-Man boy and, like, be careful out there?
As a matter of fact.
Isn't great that the point of
all power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, baby.
There are consequences.
How many
Spider-Man boy?
Peter Parkers can there be, though?
Enough to wreck the world, apparently.
Okay.
All right.
Enough to make terrible Spider-Man movies.
Speaking of Spider-Man movies.
All right, so we're now shifting into B-roll here. Thank you. Okay, for B-roll, we've got a triple trailer walkthrough here.
7/7/17.
That is Spider-Man Homecoming, of course. Spider-Man Homecoming trailer dropped Tuesday. The Death Note coming to Netflix dropped a little bit ago, I think a couple days ago here. And the Justice League trailer dropped on Monday.
Saturday.
That's what I said.
May I give you my impression from all of those three? The number one impression I have is that when the Netflix trailer ended and all that left was the big capital red N, that was, like, kind of cool. I thought, you know what? They should change their logo to just the big, like a Madonna, just be N. Mm-hmm. Right? That's how big we are.
Just N and chill?
It's just N.
N and chill.
So let's break these trailers down one at a time. First, let's start with Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Dan, how do you feel about it?
I'm pretty excited.
All right. What jumped out at you?
Oh, God, everything. I love the suit. I love the suit. I love the fact that it's, like, baggy on him, and then he pushes the button, and it tightens up like Marty McFly style.
Right.
And, like, his pudgy little friend can wear it, and it fits him perfectly, too.
It's like the Nike pumps of the Spidey suit.
It's fantastic. I love that. It's got everything that we expect from a Marvel movie and not what we expect from a Sony movie.
It's marvelous.
It is. It really is.
It's got the action. It's got the consequences. It's got comedy. Everything. It's going to be amazing.
So based... I'm gonna rain on your parade.
Huh? Well...
Based
no more weather
strictly
puns.
On... Why not?
No.
Okay. I was trying to think of one more just to make you angry, but
I could tell you were doing the wheel spinning.
So based solely on the trailer alone and from what we've seen from other Spider-Man movies, I am so tired of the, oh my God, Spider-Man has two webs going in either direction and he's pulling something really heavy together and he can't do it. Oh no.
But now he's got Iron Man there to help him.
Well, Iron Man clearly didn't help.
Yeah, he did.
He was pushing up one side of it.
Oh.
No, actually, he was pushing up both sides of it. You see, he had Iron Man shows up with a dozen of those little,
pods
that all attached and helped put the thing. But you're right. That is, we have seen that happen.
It's shtick.
But that's the great thing about it. It's Tony basically telling him, you can't go around doing that. That's not going to work. You were being irresponsible.
Right.
Does he get to kiss that girl? Because that was... when yeah, she's right? upside down or he's upside down. That was
that's like the way back.
Are you talking about the original one?
That's not going to happen in this movie again.
Different trailers. Yeah,
probably not.
Which I don't know if you guys have ever tried that, but it's really awkward and uncomfortable.
I actually did once, not hanging from a web, but it is.
So you don't like the ridiculousness that they come up with the same shtick every time.
I just, and again.
So then, can I just ask you this question? A Death Star and a planet? I mean, how many times are we going to blow up the Death Star?
Oh, can we not? We don't have the time.
I mean, come on, guys.
I'm with you, though. So a couple of notes that I had. First of all, I'm in agreement with Dan. You're not wrong about the shtick. I should say that first.
Yeah.
You're not wrong about the shtick. I do like that they use that in a different way.
Yeah.
Because he obviously doesn't actually manage to save
it. He doesn't succeed, yeah.
Right. So that part, I think, was a nice twist here.
And I do think it's nice because they do kind of play up the fact that Peter Parker is a teenager.
He's a tiny little
boy.
He's
an itty-bitty baby.
Yes.
You know? And so he does have this crazy power. He has a lot of life to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And so making him a more vulnerable character, I think, is a good way to go.
So I got a couple notes here. First, This is what a Spider-Man movie is supposed to look like. I think it is bright, it is colorful, it is happy, it is lighter in a lot of places. Not that it doesn't have darker moments or parts where it's going to be hard, but overall it is getting more positive feel to it.
Yeah.
I love the friend. And by the way, that is exactly what you would do for your boy.
Yeah.
If you've got a Spider-Man suit, you have to let your buddy try it on. You just have to.
Especially if it's all size fits all.
Exactly.
One size fits all.
Like as the fat friend, I want to be able to try it on too, damn it. I also, Michael damn Keaton.
Right?
Oh my God.
This guy came out of, I mean, like, yeah. Michael's been hiding since forever.
Well, but that's very true, quite literally. He stopped doing anything. He retired to a massive ranch, I think in Montana, and mm-hmm. was just really happy. Now,
did you think he ran out of money? Do you think that's what happened?
I don't think so.
No,
but
I think
see him in The Founder?
No.
So you guys didn't even talk about.
Yeah, yeah, the McDonald's movie.
He was tremendous in The Founder, and Larry David's movie that he did. Did you see the Larry David movie that came out about 3 or 4 years ago? When
it was Birdman?
No, not that one. It was only for HBO, I think. But Michael Keaton was in that, and you would not have recognized him. He was a crazy old man on Nantucket Island. So
that's awesome.
Michael Keaton is a genius. I like it.
He looked. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How cool would it be if they gave Tim Burton
Batman
back?
Oh my God!
And Michael Keaton did
to this day
the Dark Knight.
Different franchise, I understand, but to this day, just he's my favorite Batman.
But what if he came back as Batman, like the Dark Knight, out of retirement?
I like Christopher.
It'd be
Reeves
amazing
as Batman.
A different one. Also, the other two other things. Robert Downey Jr. continues to go toward the mentor role, which I think is a perfect way to transition him.
Yeah.
And it was a very minor note, but did you catch that this guy's actually got a New York accent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not an over, like, heavy duty, but there's...
Well, because his natural accent, he's British. So he's putting on a very distinct Queens accent, and he's doing a great job with it.
Well, and I just think that's a nice touch. Because none of the other Spider-Mans have had any form of a New York accent at all. But this is New York's superhero. Spider-Man is it. You know what I mean?
He's from Queens.
And, exactly. And... the Staten Island Ferry, which he holds together, mm-hmm. is the right color.
Yes.
So I think that was...
Neil deGrasse Tyson would be very pleased with that bit of information. Yeah. Are the stars right over New York City is what I really
want to
know.
They had bet you're... But yeah, so...
go pound sand would have been my response.
Spider-Man. I'm not the only one who says go pound sand. actually, Professor Stone also says go pound sand. So, but Spider-Man Homecoming looks absolutely phenomenal. Let's switch gears into Death Note. So Death Note's coming out August 25th, I believe it is, on Netflix.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with Death Note, that's perfectly fine. Death Note was originally a manga.
Manga.
Yes.
I actually saw about half of it as an anime.
Jumanji?
Different. Different.
Different. Okay.
Different. I saw it as an anime, which you can also find on Netflix, as a matter of fact. And basically the story here is that there is this big evil – well, not evil, but there's this big – demon who is probably evil. I didn't get to finish the series, so I won't say for certain. But he basically has this book that he drops to Earth, and whenever you write a name in this book, it's called the Death Note, that person will die through some means. Not just like fall over dead, but something will happen to them and kill them. And so he drops it on Earth out of boredom, and this guy picks it up, and the story takes up from there. So the interesting part here is that then this big demon thing then goes to Earth and starts to converse with the guy who picked it up. The guy who picked it up starts to use it to kill criminals.
Hmm.
And it gets into, like a lot of, like the best kind of animes do, gets into this conversation over whether or not it's okay to use the Death Note to kill somebody who's going to kill somebody else, what that means, as well as doing this really great cat and mouse game between the kid who's got the book and the authorities, the genius detective consultant guy who is chasing him down.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got these two angles on the story going on, and it was absolutely incredible. It was dark, which is one of the reasons I didn't finish it, because it got a little too dark, and I'm wanting to... I can only watch dark stuff for so long before I get depressed and moaner. But overall, it looks really good. Netflix is the only place I would be willing to see this. And I'm glad that Netflix picked it up, because this does not work on the big screen. This does not work under Sony or any of the big publishers. Question?
Now, another Netflix show that came out recently, Iron Fist, got a lot of backlash because they cast a white guy as the Iron Fist, even though in the comic books, a white guy played Iron Fist.
We'll get into that when we do our Iron Fist review.
But yes, this is a manga. This is anime.
Yep.
I only saw white people in this trailer.
I didn't look.
This was completely whitewashed. So if we've been hearing people pissing and moaning about Iron Fist not doing something different, why would we not be hearing it about this?
I don't. Well, to be honest with you, I actually looked through the IMDb page. I didn't even recognize the actors that they had there.
Neither did I. I mean, like, but the lead looks like a white dude with blonde hair.
Then that would be something worth mentioning. Yeah. The only actor I saw on this show that is on this thing that was worth mentioning was William Dafoe, who plays
He's the best.
He is. He plays a demon that is pronounced Ryuk, which is the name of the big demon that drops the book in the first place. And if you want to know what Ryuk is like, William Dafoe as a demon. That's Ryuk. That is like
just Willem Dafoe, basically.
That is, just Willem.
Yeah,
yes.
Essentially.
When he does that really creepy smile that Willem Dafoe can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Ryuk. That's just it's.
I've always wanted to see him play the Joker.
Oh wow! Why have we never seen him as the Joker?
Right?
Because we haven't said it yet. Hello.
Oh, we haven't put out in the universe.
Obviously.
I'd take
DC.
Him today.
You can mail the check to what's the address name? Here at the studio?
Yeah. All right, DC. Get on that. You're welcome.
Speaking of DC.
You back up off. The Justice League trailer dropped.
Yep.
All right.
Like, we want to be excited, right?
I really want to be
excited. Like, we should be excited?
I was so excited, and then I watched it.
Okay, here, let me stand in for Daniel really quick. Jason Momoa.
Hey, now listen. Momoa's looking good.
No, I mean, come on.
She wasn't faking it. She was just saying
I wasn't.
So if Aquaman's in this, does that mean Entourage is back? Is that... No,
it is not. Although I actually would really love to have seen that Aquaman movie.
Yeah,
they made
that they
right.
What are your impressions here, Dan?
Okay, so it sounds like from what has been coming out now since the trailer came out that the cyborg storyline is going to be integral to this movie. Like, it's basically going to be a cyborg origin while they unite the.
Seven?
The seven.
Although there's only five currently.
Yeah.
But we assume Superman is six, and I'm going to bet Green Lantern seven.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes.
Now, are we going to be bringing Ryan Reynolds back, do we think?
No.
Or is he just kind of like
on
that whole franchise?
He's on the short list.
Yeah. Oh, I guess they could. He might. I mean, if I were Ryan Reynolds,
could, but they
would
just
also
pretend the other
DC
one didn't
to
happen.
Go pound sand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about focusing on this trailer, though? What jumped out at you?
It really feels like BVS all over again to me.
Well, I mean,
the whole style of it.
Well, a style of a movie is going to be a style of a movie. They've already kind of created their style, and I feel like DC is going with this. You know, DC goes with this very dark kind of style. You know,
well,
cinematic style.
That leads me to a question for Dave. Dave, What do you think it is necessary for Zack Snyder to have created a singular weather system so that over him it is always
city.
Dark and raining?
Oh, that is that's an excellent question.
Is it a gravitational thing?
It's a lot of hot air.
Oh, so it's hot air.
Hot air rises, condensation, cloud formation.
Explains so
goddamn
much.
That explains a lot of it.
I'm just happy he finally got a role that he can do. What's his name?
Batfleck?
Yeah, Ben.
Batfleck?
Because he's dreamy too, isn't he? You just look at his eyes. No? Come on. Come on.
I was more of a Matt Damon fan.
Okay. No, you're not wrong. And I want to know.
Matt Damon's all about water now, so he's all like squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all right.
I'm fine with the casting of everybody in here. That's not my concern.
Did
my
you,
concern.
Did you sign off?
I just hope. Yeah, I did. I just hope that they
They're
actually.
So pleased.
I hope they actually bring in a writer this time because BVS didn't have a writer. It only had a cinematographer.
You mean like that one time we had a Versus movie where there was like a 5-minute battle scene?
Right.
What BS?
Yes, exactly.
That BS movie.
Exactly. What was it?
BVS, whatever.
Batman versus Superman.
Oh, Batman versus BVS. Okay, I'm with you.
Just BS.
I don't have to.
No, but you're right.
You
BS is the correct.
Yeah.
So here's what. First of all, the tone is still. There's no sunlight. There's no. Just no.
It just makes it hard to watch.
Yeah. It does.
The Batman movie with the Joker guy who was killed and that movie, I'm no joking. I have no idea what happened. I have no idea what went on in that movie because I'm like, it was too dark. I couldn't tell. I couldn't see. I got my contacts in. I didn't know what was going on. I never knew what was going on. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
That's going to continue here because that was what
that's what they do, right?
Yeah. Right. The things that I loved, Cyborg, I know it's a random minor point. Uh-huh. The Cyborg's voice is perfect.
Okay. I still think he's too short.
He could be taller, but Cyborg, I know it seems minor, but I love that. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, still continuing to, I still love her as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I didn't mind. I definitely was good with Jason Momoa coming in. I liked what he was doing with Aquaman. You're going to have to completely relook at the way Aquaman operates anyway.
Well, I just love that he's like that. He's like Aqua Bro.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
he's like Crush.
That's,
he's like Crush the Turtle in a DC comic movie.
Dude.
Right?
Exactly. A darker, drunker.
He's not the Arthur Murray we know by any means.
Everybody loves Crush.
So, I mean, all these different pieces look good. My concerns here, number one, and also, by the way, DC makes great trailers.
Yeah. That's what it felt like—a great DC trailer for a less than great DC movie. Yeah.
Exactly, but I'm currently concerned because you still have an army of interchangeable henchmen with a shiny evil light destroying the Earth.
Those aren't just henchmen.
What, I mean, look,
those are parademons.
I understand that, but I'm going to point to Avengers. I'm going to point to Suicide Squad. I'm going to point to Thor. I'm going to point to so many movies where some giant light is coming down and it represents the destruction of Earth and mankind. And then we're also going to give you the other trope of this just endless horde of bad guys that for our heroes to just roll through.
You know, if the Starship Enterprise slingshots itself around the sun, then they can make time go backwards and that'll fix everything.
It will. So, but since it's DC, if Superman can hurry up and come back to life, then he can go around the Earth backwards. So yeah,
wait, Superman's dead. Oh, that was the
spoilers, Dave.
Dave, come on, man. I didn't. So that was that's. We're gonna wait. I want to believe in this, man. I want to believe. That,
you know,
that
I'm always an optimist when it comes to these things. I always have the best of hopes for everything.
What is the worst thing that can happen? You spend $15 and you go, and it's 2.5 hours, right? I mean, what's the downside?
Well, because we are humongous, humongous nerds, we wrap up way too much of our identity.
Geeks, nerds.
Is there a difference?
We could break down.
We can use that one word, and you can't.
A negative connotation.
Yeah, that's our word.
That is our word. You don't use that word.
N-word. All right.
No, that's right. But I mean, as huge geeks, we invest entirely too much of ourselves in this.
Yes.
So if it does well or badly, we care way more than we should.
What? But will it go badly? No matter what happens, will everybody be okay? I mean, like
Batman versus Superman went pretty badly.
No, they made no mo- they didn't make money.
Oh no!
Oh, they made money.
The actors got paid.
They
got
paid.
Lots of people got paid. Lots and lots of money.
But it hurt my soul.
Did it?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I'm down. I got you.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't. I had beef with how Seinfeld ended. Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That. Yeah.
I had. And what other bad
Lost?
Series? I couldn't.
Westworld. Westworld.
I lost. I couldn't.
How I Met Your
I wanted
mother?
To see what the smoke. I wanted to see what the thing moving the trees was, and there was never a thing moving the trees. And I just
got
annoyed. Well, there was
a smoke
thing.
Monster.
I thought it was the polar bear.
No, I want to come back.
I don't know. I stopped watching season 2.
How I Met Your Mother.
How
I Met Your Mother's ending was rough.
Oh dear God, like ew. And I had no, I had no problem with her dying. I'm a sucker for the tragic love story. Like, oh my God. And then
spoilers.
The Sopranos. People hated the Sopranos ending.
Deadwood.
Okay.
Deadwood was the worst ending of any series ever. It was such an amazing show, and Deadwood's ending just I would. Ballistic.
How about that climactic end to Firefly?
Oh, I almost tagged Al in a picture today that was like, oh, if you could have one more season of your favorite show, what would it be? And then I didn't because I knew that it would hurt him. But then you went right for it, Dan.
My soul. Yep.
Back to Sopranos.
I'm his best friend.
I am an Italian American, and I can tell you that there are attractive Italian Americans in North Jersey. They're not all ugly.
Well, they work at Bada Bing, right?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
All right, so a bad movie is a bad movie. You right. don't. It makes you unhappy. It hurts yeah. your soul.
It does.
Right. It does.
And, but the big thing here is this is an interconnected universe. So one movie right. spoils the bunch.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Here's the thing.
No, Iron
if they
Man,
let it, it can.
Jackson 5 okay. song, by the way.
I'm going to argue that Iron Man, what was that, 2?
Iron Man 2 was terrible. Doesn't make me hate the entire.
What was Iron
it was
Iron
nowhere
franchise.
Near as bad as BBS. The,
no, I'm not comparing.
No, I'm sorry, 3.
I'm not comparing
you're right.
it to
Which
BBS.
Was the whips?
That was 2. I was referring to 3.
Oh.
3 was the one that was terrible.
You think, no, 3
was
3
not
was
terrible?
Incredible.
No, it was 2. It was 2.
2 the was one the one with
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
No, Ben Kingsley was 3.
Yeah, Ben Kingsley was 3.
Okay.
2 was what's his face? The wrestler.
And if you watched the one shot that came out with the DVD, you wouldn't hate it.
Meh.
It fixed it.
As long as the Gungans are okay.
They've made it clear that that's not the real Mandarin, and there is a real Mandarin out there, and he's going to come at some point and show that's, up.
Actually, I like as long as the Gungans are
now,
okay.
Now, when he does, does he take us all and some are left behind or anything like when the real Mandarin comes back?
Point being, I don't think...
Follow the church
I don't
of
think,
the Gungans?
Yes.
I don't think the Batman...
Exactly. The first church, the true Gungans.
I don't think the Batman versus Superman... really ruined
can they not have it, a bad day can they have a bad
well,
day
well listen I don't think that it ruined the entire franchise for me, but my issue with it was as the movie, as an individual movie, we were promised a versus movie that turned up to be one big fat giant setup for the Justice League, which we knew was coming, we knew that was happening, mm-hmm. but you overpromised and underdelivered. So yes. I'm like optimistically cynical,
especially when it came out in the same year as Civil War,
yeah, which I totally saw, everyone,
which was so amazing.
All right.
So you guys really are geeks.
Yeah,
I guess I didn't get that.
I don't know if you know what the name of the podcast is, sir.
Okay, so let's move on here. But those are your trailers. Make sure you check those guys out.
I like the boots. I'm just going to say I like the boots.
Whose boots?
Whose boots?
All of them?
Obviously Aquaman's boots.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Actually, I'm still staring at Gal Gadot's boots.
Boots. Boots.
With a T.
They're all booty. Yeah.
All right. Let's do some shameless plugs.
Let's do it.
Dan?
As always, you can find me at epiceventsorlando.com for all your DJ service needs.
Wow.
That's exactly where you can find him.
Yep.
Hey, great job there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Looks like we're scrambling. Dave, do you have any shameless plugs you can put in?
Well, I want everybody to make sure they go out to the next roller derby event and see April Bloodgate Bludgeon. Bludgeon the competition, right? That's the whole gig, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just as simple as like all we do is skate run.
Did you ever see the original Rollerball with James Caan? You want to talk about it? You guys, you want to get a geek sci-fi flick, man? The original Rollerball that like ruined my world for. It was like 1975. Yeah. That was good. Soylent Green. Come on,
it's people. I heard it's people.
It's people.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Big spoilers. Exactly. So I can be found at DaveCotcherella.com, which is tedious and dull. And then, of course, my Twitter feed, which is Dave Cotcherella with no A at the end because there's not enough letters.
Sure.
So,
oh, really? That sucks for you.
Yeah. Now, do you tweet just weather or do you?
No. I rarely tweet weather.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is I got an email recently.
About not tweeting enough weather?
Which, what I was tweeting was made somebody unhappy.
Oh, no.
Good for you.
What are you going to do? It's all right.
What you got?
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and shamelessly plug the Orlando Roller Derby League. We have just rebranded, so we are now Orlando Roller Derby. Coming up on April 8th, that's a Saturday, we've got a doubleheader. It's going to be our travel team. We've got the Orlando Ozone Slayers, which is the name of our travel team, our A team, versus the Savannah Derby Devils. So we're actually hosting a team from Savannah, Georgia, which is very exciting.
Cool.
And then we've got our B team, our Orlando Sunblockers, versus the Savannah Hostess City Hellions. Doors open at 3:45. It's going to be located at Barnett Park. That's 4801 West Colonial Drive. You can get at your favorite Derby Girl for pre-sale tickets. They're $8. They're $10 at the door. There's going to be food, beer, and girls on skates beating each other up. It's a good time.
So what's the venue at Barnett Park?
Is it? The venue at Barnett Park, it is just kind of like a general Orange County Recreational Center.
Well, no, but where do you skate?
In the gym.
Okay, in the gym.
In the gym. I have not personally skated there yet.
Is it an angled track? Is that whole thing still happening?
It's not an angle. You're talking about banked track.
Banked.
So banked track is it's old school. We are now the Women's Flat Track Derby Association. There still are leagues that skate banked track, but they are not ranked in the same.
So it's flat track.
It's flat track.
Ooh.
Yes.
I haven't seen flat track. I've only seen the other one.
Yeah. All right. Well, see, banked. You should, and you absolutely should. There's a guy who's actually got to go see it. It was a lot of fun. That was really cool to check out. So you guys should definitely do that. And by the way, where can they find you if you are now their favorite Derby Girl?
If I am their favorite Derby Girl, you can find me on Facebook, Elizabeth Ames parentheses April Bloodgate. You can also find me on Twitter at April Bloodgate.
Did you just change that?
I don't post many interesting things, but I will start.
You better get on it.
I do tweet only about the weather.
You could do what I do and post not interesting things. Like pictures of my dog that I showed you.
Dogs are always into. Actually, there's a group called Dog Spotting that I won't get into. But
you know, I
dogs
actually are a good thing. Do like what we do for the Geek Take Twitter page, and just don't post terribly often. That's been our strategy, and it's worked great.
A good system as well.
Yeah, it's been working. For my shameless plug, I wanted to give some mention to the I Want to Help Peru, which is on the GoFundMe page. Also, Aiden is 12, not 11, so apologies there.
Oh, well, that makes it so much better.
Stupid birthdays.
Yeah, so Aiden, 12 years, GoFundMe, I Want to Help Peru. If you Google GoFundMe, I Want to Help Peru. He is currently, he's raised $945 and 22, sorry, in 9 days. So 945 in 9 days. He's trying to raise $10,000. So get on there and go donate and help him out. Also, of course, check out Brian Klein, Mana Forge on Kickstarter. And show some love over there, too. Just give them all of your money, because apparently I'm not going to take it from you. Dan, where can they find... Oh, I'll not do that. I'm not doing that. No.
They already found us.
You know what? No. You can find us on the Twitter at 4 Geeks' Sake. That's with two S's. You can also find us on Facebook. You cannot find us on GeekStreetStation.com because that site is gone. But in the very near future, we are hoping to get a little bit of video going on. So we're working on that piece, and we're pretty excited about it. So, is that it? Did I miss anything?
That's going to do it.
All right. Fantastic. All right, folks. Well, then, thank you so much for listening. We have a big thank you to Dave for coming out and joining us. Liz, as always, it's great to see you. And until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, yeah, that's how it starts. Then later, there's the running and screaming.